You're up, we're up, it's the perfect match. Now it's on you to make the right decision while you're scrolling in bed. Go big or go home at 7-Eleven with their boneless wings tossed in hot honey sauce with a spot-on sweet and spicy combo. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $5 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-burner gas grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Today on another horrific episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, as a young child peacefully puts his head down to sleep with the wishes of sweet dreams from his parents, little does he know that he's about to have a traumatizing paranormal experience that will scar his memory forever. As a pair of red eyes locks onto his from the other side of the room, the young boy immediately starts to experience sharp pains through his body, almost as if someone or something possibly demonic is trying to steal his soul from his body. That story and much more today on this seizure-inducing episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio files to tony@realghoststoriesonline.com to get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. It helps keep us on the air, all of it commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's three of us on the show today, which is a new thing. It's Tony, it's Harper, it's Carol, and here we go, everybody.
It's your three favorites, everyone.
Yeah.
This is so fun because Harper and I have never done an episode together.
No, you haven't.
I have known Harper since she was born.
Yeah.
Although we live a long ways away now, so I don't get to see you very often.
But yeah, she knew you when you were in your carrier. I'd bring you in and Carol would say horrible things to you and I'd have to carry you out of the studio crying. And then you would You would curse at me for the next week, yeah. Harper. It was like, where did you learn those words? And it was like,
Carol.
You know what's funny, though, is that it was sometime in the last month or two in Facebook memories, it came up. And I remember when Harper, so you and Jen got your baby pictures, the sonogram pictures.
Yeah.
And you brought them into work and you go, I think I might be having an alien baby. And you showed me, or devil baby. I can't remember which one it was. Devil baby. And you showed me the sonogram pictures. I'm like, oh man, Tony, I'm so sorry. You are having a demon baby. It was the funniest sonogram picture ever.
You had horns and then they fell off.
I had what?
They fell off in the wound.
It was just the way the picture was taken.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I see it. Because sometimes baby pictures, you're like, I don't really see the baby. I'm trying to mm-hmm. see the baby in it. And that one is like, oh, dang, Tony.
Actually, one of the, because they did like a 3D sonogram on her.
A 3D
sonogram where
so you get really good pictures in the womb.
And the one, there was one of you that really was like, oh my gosh, like you could, it's your face. And it came out so clear. I'm like, I could start to see kind of the both of your mom and me in you. And then you came out and it was like, those are dead on. Like, it was scary how accurate you can see that now. I can only imagine what it's going to be like when you have kids. As for they'll probably like have their own like Facebook following by the time they come out of the womb, you know, or something.
You didn't know. You do that?
They're in there doing schoolwork already.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can come out ahead of the other kids.
You have to be like already, you know, pre-K by the time you get out, and then they qualify you immediately to see if you can go to the next level up. If not, they keep you in the hospital. So.
Like, you got to know how to count to 10 before you get out of the womb. Start, and all your colors and spell your name.
Start educating your kids in the womb. That's the new thing. Just used to be like, what was it? Classical music, they said? No.
Oh, yep.
Now it's going to be like hardcore audiobooks and such and lessons to headphones on the belly. And
But here's the thing, Tony, that might help a few parents.
Well, yes.
They'll learn a few things.
That would be the thing that would be most beneficial for a lot of parents is that part for them. But good luck with that.
Yeah, you might also want to work on your alphabets.
Exactly. Before you bring humans into the world, might want to get that one down first. Just
get the alphabet down without singing it.
Just a thought.
Now, you're going to have headphones around the stomach, just like mm-hmm. A, B, C, D,
yep, exactly.
E, F, G.
Look what you have to look forward to. Yeah, it's going to be great. It'll be so much fun for you. I can't wait. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, love the podcast, Tony. I've been a listener for on and off for about 5 years. Decided it was time to sign up to be an EPP member and share some of my experiences. I was so drawn to your show because of all paranormal things I've experienced and still do experience to this day. Guess it gives me comfort knowing I'm not the only one with similar experiences, and that is why I keep coming back. Wow, where do I begin? Well, I guess I'll start with some background. I was an Air Force brat from a very early age up until my middle teens. Father, mother, younger sister, and I moved around a lot, and it seemed like no matter what house, apartment, or trailer we lived in, weird paranormal things would happen in some, but not all, dwellings. Even to this day, my father, stepmother, and I live in a haunted top and bottom duplex house that was built in 1929. The occasional poltergeist activity, of which the most recent dramatic account happened about 10 months ago from this writing, it was March 14th, 2021, around 3:30 a.m., my parents were sound asleep in bed when they heard a loud crash in the hallway outside their bedroom. I got up to investigate and found the light fixture had been ripped from the ceiling and crashed on the floor below. I didn't hear a thing in the apartment below and slept through it, which is odd since I'm a light sleeper. I have quite a few more accounts of poltergeist happenings to share, but I'll share those for a later time. For now, I'll just share my first experience as a young child. I call this one Those Eyes. We should do a little more dramatic things with that here. Let's
oh
do it.
My God.
Here we go. Those Eyes.
Ain't that fun?
Continuing on. I was 5 years old, I believe. It was 1984. I was living in base housing in Elgin Air Force Base near Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I was in bed while awake and frightened because of the crazy thunder and lightning going on outside my window. Light from the lightning and the street lamp from outside filtered through my window blinds and caused shadows to dance across my bedroom walls. I looked down towards my uncovered bare feet and noticed there was a large shadow not moving and partially hidden behind the foot of my bed. A sense of sheer dread came over me, and I was paralyzed with fear as I could not make sense of what this thing was. As soon as I noticed a shadow that seemed to absorb all light and seemed like it was crouching down, it began to rise. I then saw something that made my heart jump out of my chest. And at the same time, a cold sweat came over my whole body as two bright crimson-red eyes rose up from behind the foot of my bed. I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't yell. This thing and I just stared at each other, which seemed like an eternity. The first thought that raced through my mind was that my bare feet were exposed out from under the bed sheet. We're going to be grabbed by this thing. As I thought that, I felt something that seemed like sharp nails jab me in the soles of my feet. Then I felt a surge of electricity rush through my body as I noticed I was no longer paralyzed. Jumped out of bed, screaming, ran past this shadow person into my parents' bedroom. They thought I was scared of the lightning and thunder outside. Thought nothing of it. Ended up sleeping with them for the rest of the night. Years later, as an older child, I told my father about the experience. He believed me. Then he confessed that he had experienced paranormal activity also, and then went on to tell me about all his experiences up until that time. We also believe all the activity of this day is centered around my father because he has experienced the most numerous and most dramatic paranormal activity out of the two of us. And nothing ever seemed to happen when I lived with my mother as a child or when I lived alone as a young adult. My father got custody of me in the late 80s, and from then on, the strange happening started up again and followed us from state to state. The most dramatic in my life happening in Blytheville, Arkansas. Well, I could go on and on for hours about my experiences, but I thought I would share a couple for now. Glad I could share those stories with your listeners and look forward to sharing the rest. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Till next time, Tony and fellow listeners, this is Justin. All right. Thank you for sharing that, Justin, in Spokane, Washington. Carol, thoughts on all of that?
No, not this time. I want you to go, thoughts, Harper.
Thoughts, Harper.
Because you always say, Carol, thoughts, and I want to hear Harper first.
Thoughts, go.
Okay, so why would someone rip a light fixture out of the ceiling? Like, why? Just why?
Carol.
Well... She has a good point. Exactly. I don't, honey. I wish I had a good answer for that. She wants an answer that I don't have, Tony. This is uncomfortable.
And immediately felt electricity rush through my body.
Is the electricity from the light that you just ripped out?
That makes my eyes red.
That may have something to do with it.
Hey!
Just a thought. I don't know. I don't know. Wait, maybe was it a... I don't know. Has anyone ever been in a situation where you accidentally ripped a light fixture out of the ceiling?
How would you do that?
I've had times where I've damaged lamps of, like, knocking them over or things like that on accident.
Well, it does sound like something where alcohol may or may not have been involved or some kind of stupid kid thing. It's like, watch this. I jump up and grab, I'm going to swing from that ceiling fixture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
A double dare.
I had, this is a story. Sean, who's been on this show before, and he's been on several of our programs here and there. When we were younger and we were, I don't know, 21, 22-ish, right around there. He had a bit too much to drink one night at my house. And he stayed in my guest bedroom, and I had a lamp that, I kind of gave him credit for the whole time I've told the story. It's like, it's a lamp that kind of looks like a garbage can, but there's light emitting from it. So I don't know how you really mistake this for a garbage can, but it was like a Target kind of modern looking lamp circa 2003. And it was on the guest bedroom nightstand. He woke up, thought it was garbage, puked into it.
Next morning,
get up, and I go in there, and he left. He was good, and you know it was all. And I just go in there to kind of check on things, clean up a little bit.
Things and I'm are like, smelling funky,
and I'm like, it smells funky. Like it smells like something's roasting in here.
What?
The light is still working.
Oh, it was cooking it,
and it was cooking it. Yeah, and this is, this was the bulbs. This was before LED bulbs. So they got hot. And amazingly, it didn't like burst or, I would think that would have happened, but it didn't. And it was literally cooking it in this lamp.
Oh, that's weird. Hey, repurposed food.
Oh, my God. So the joke forever has been you owe me a lamp, but that's never happened in 20 some years.
Exactly. But that guy we were talking about in the other episode about people who are super sensitive. And it's interesting that his issues were more, what do I want? Not issues, but his experiences were more profound when he was with his dad and not his mom. Were they like kind of feeding off each other, or is dad someone who attracts that? And I don't know. That's interesting. Because most people are kind of, you know, because he's like, yeah, things didn't happen when I was with my mom, but it did when I was with my dad, which is interesting to me.
Well, then you can make the argument, like, is it happening because things are positive and something's trying to tear that down and bring more negativity in? Or is it because there's a lot of negativity surrounding that individual and it just kind of attracts itself in?
That could be it. Something like that, yeah.
You could kind of look at it both ways, really. And, you know, it's hard to say because... I mean, I believe, you know, when you're in a really good place and you're in things, that's when a lot of things will kind of come in and try to pull you down. And it's spooky just how much shit can be thrown at someone. And then it's like, oh my God, okay, it finally kind of calmed down. Like, why did this all happen? I don't know. It's just, it's weird. But I do believe that there's something out there where, you know, when you're in a good place, that's when sometimes you can be most vulnerable and you got to be, you know, aware and strong and stay positive. To kind of, you know, maintain that and keep that going. So I think there's a force out there that does, I don't know, it's like something with whatever, but it pulls you down and you got to watch for that.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, my family, which was my mother, father, and my younger sister at the time, and I all moved into a small tract house when I was 7. I have many stories about this house. I'll just share a few. Whatever is in my house seems to like my teasing father. When I was younger, my mother and sister went out grocery shopping. My father was doing some yard work in the backyard, and I was doing homework in the living room. There was a pounding on the front door, and I opened it to my very frazzled father. He was convinced I locked the door from the laundry room that leads to the backyard, and I was in big, big trouble. I could not have been me. I had not left the living room the whole time. I could not have been my mother or my sister. My father went to work in the backyard about a half an hour or so after they left. I could not have been. I've just been shaken, locked or something, as the lock was a door chain and had to be manually locked by a person from the inside. Needless to say, I could not make a good case for myself and was in trouble. This would happen to him over and over, even when no one else would be home. We replaced the door when the laundry room was renovated with just a regular lock, which still locks itself from time to time. I have older siblings, and they moved out a long while back before we moved into this house, and they would occasionally bring their kids to visit. One day, my father walked in my room asking if my brother dropped off one of the boys to visit. He then grumbled about them being rude, didn't even say hi, and giving a hug to Grandpa, just running off to the back. I was confused. My brother had not been by in days. When I told him this, the color drained from his face, and he left the room. This boy's been seen multiple times, sometimes my father, sometimes my brothers. He's even appeared in the dreams of people who have stayed over, like cousins or friends. I've not seen him, but he's been described as a young boy, about 6 or 7 years old, with neatly combed black hair parted down the side, wearing a button-up shirt and jeans, which is why my father thought he was one of my nephews. My mother does that to all my nephews' hair when they come over, and one of them was about the same age at the time. A few more stories about the boy and his friend, the man who also appears in my house. Thank you for reading my story. I'm a huge fan of the show. Thoughts, Harp?
So it's either appearing as a boy to keep, to kind of like appear itself as something innocent, but it keeps on locking the door, and that's what freaks me out the most.
That is freaky. I mean, and it's interesting because it's like a, it's a pull lock. It's not just like a, I don't know. I think anything where you're physically moving things as a ghost is kind of creepy. Thoughts, Carol?
Yes, creepy. I did think it was creepy that the mother styled all the nephews' hair like that when they came over. I just think that's weird. But Harper might not know this story, and I know I've shared it before, but when I was a kid, I lived in a haunted house. And I remember my sisters had some friends over, and one of them went to the bathroom, in the upstairs bathroom, and that's where all the like, it was just a very negative, dark place. Like, if you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you just held it. Because there was no way I would ever get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And so one of her friends, they were just upstairs listening to music or something. And she went to the bathroom and they heard her screaming. And she went to get out. And it wasn't like the door was locked. The handle just kept shaking back and forth. Like somebody on the other side shaking the handle. And nobody was on the other side. So she's screaming. So they go running down the hall. And she's like, don't ever do that again. They're like, we didn't do anything. There was nobody there. You were shaking the handle of the door back and forth. And nobody was. There was nobody there. So, you know, I think that for whatever reason, you know, that story reminded me of that. Like I don't know why we had a haunted bathroom, but there was, the whole house is haunted.
Yeah.
But there was a little attic off the bathroom that was super creepy. Like you had to bend down, and I'm only 5'2", you know? So at the time I'm like in fourth, fifth grade, and I'm still having to bend down to get in there. And so it was a weird bathroom, but it's like, is it doing it to be playful?
Yeah.
You know, like a kid would do. Ha ha, watch this. Cause that's a stupid shit kids do. Like they think it's funny. It's not funny. Unlock the door. You know? So maybe they just think they're being funny
Yeah, I mean, just kids being kids something. Almost, you know, they're just kind of like, oh, do my thing,
But it could be something trying to disguise itself. Because we've had stories where it could have been that.
Yeah.
On the show. But why the hair so in particular? Because it's disguising itself as such an innocent thing that you know and would love.
Oh, that's part of it, though. I think it's trying to do that. It's trying to deceive.
I know, and that's the scary part. You can't trust that.
No, you're exactly right.
Well, I'm going to be straight up honest, Harp. If I saw a kid ghost, that it doesn't even matter that it's a kid, it would still scare the crap out of me. I would be like, oh my God, it's a child.
Have you ever heard of a Titanic story?
But it's almost like just as scary, the fact that it's a kid. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's pretty creepy.
Have you heard the Titanic story, Carol?
Well, like, I have heard about the Titanic before. Well,
have you heard about the one with me, like, in the museum in Branson?
I don't know that I have.
Okay, then let me tell this story.
Oh, you're going to tell it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go for it.
You can add some tweaks if you want.
I can add some tweaks. Okay, I'll add some tweaks.
Okay. So... in the Titanic Museum, you might have seen it on Ghost Adventures or something, but that happened after I went there. So when we used to live in Branson, we would go to the Titanic Museum frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But
because your dad is obsessed with it, so
yes.
Full disclosure.
But there was this one room that it was just the weirdest room. It was simulating, like, you're out on the deck on the Titanic. Like, wind's blowing and stuff. But when I was I don't remember how old I was, but I was kind of a small child. I felt something, like, almost, like, touch me. It wasn't, like, anything human. But I just started screaming and crying.
How did you know it wasn't anything human? Did you just have this weird sensation about it that you felt something but creepy feeling at the same time?
Yeah, because I was like about 7 then. Yeah, I was about 7 then.
Yeah, that you're right around there. And it was the area of the ship where you go out and it's like you're viewing on the front of the deck and it's cold and it's chilly. But when you're on the inside of the museum, you have no idea it's going to be that cold out there. But she was in my arms and she refused to go out there. She'd say, I don't want to. No, 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 no. And it really wasn't spooky or anything aesthetically, you know, like where someone would look at that and go, oh, scary. Or a little kid would go, oh, scary. It was just like, it was actually pretty. It was like stars. And
yeah.
It wasn't a spooky thing.
So when did you find out that she'd had a weird experience right away?
Well, she was very frightful of that. And that was just very interesting of that specific room. Then we saw the Ghost Adventures episode where they ended up finding children's handprints on the windows right there after they'd already cleaned the windows that were showing up. And then I had a friend who was the one of the managers of that museum, and she was sending me pictures and video of the inside of the museum. And I have one. I don't know if it's ever been publicly put out there. It might have. She might have put it on her Facebook page. But it's of their Christmas tree
being pulled down,
ripped down from the top.
Oh, I think I did see it.
Yeah,
I think it is out there.
She took that on her phone. Or maybe it was a security camera. I'm not sure.
I think it was security because I think it was dark and nobody was around.
It was the middle of the night. And I trust these people. They're good, honest. They're not ghost people at all. They're just doing their jobs. And I was like, oh my God. I was going to have her on the show once and then we moved. But they have stuff all the time at that museum. And that museum.
But doesn't it make sense that a child would feel the child around them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because they would see you and be drawn to you because you're a kid.
Yeah.
I can still sense energies around me to this day. So that's the fun part about it.
She's very much.
That is interesting.
She's very much a little empath.
Yeah.
And
so Harper, question, would you go back there or would it be too scary for you to go back there?
Honestly, yes.
But yeah. We've gone back there since.
We have. Well, yeah, we have. But I would go back there.
Were you scared?
Honestly, I think I was. Honestly, yeah. I don't really fully remember.
You weren't that scared. It was just kind of one night where it was you and me out wandering around doing stuff together. And it was just like, what do you want to do? Like, let's do Titanic. And then we went to TGI Friday or to what's the salad bar place across the street?
Ruby Tuesdays.
We went to Ruby Tuesdays.
Well, and the sad thing is, Tony, that obviously your child was traumatized and she didn't know how to tell you. So she just went.
Exactly.
She was like, Ruby Tuesdays, I'll do that.
And sometimes you can be traumatized by the salad bar, depending on how often they change it up. That's the...
And if there's no bacon.
If there's no bacon, that right there.
No, that's
I would rather see a frozen victim of the Titanic slowly wandering down a corridor of the museum.
What the hell?
Than have bad bacon at Ruby Tuesday.
That's so specific. How? Why is that so specific?
Because the more... Here's a lesson in comedy. The more specific you make the joke, the more... It resonates. And there's a certain group that'll hear that and go, oh my God, I get that. And it's more funny. So be really specific and hit little points. It works better. I'm teaching you.
Yeah.
You're getting it. Have you ever been there, Carol? Have you been to the Titanic Museum?
No, but now I want to go.
It'll be fun. Yeah. When you come out here sometime in summer or whenever you come, it'll be fun to take a trip over there, honestly.
Yeah.
If we all just like went over and got a hotel and stuff and just did a day over there too, it'd be fun.
Ghost Adventures.
Oh my God, let's do it. Sign me up.
Yeah. We got listeners over there too. And hell, I mean, that might be a fun place to do a live show.
Yeah. I would totally do that.
Yeah. I know that there's a hotel. I think it's like called Hotel Branson or something. It's right downtown. It's a small, like it's like a bed and breakfast almost,
okay.
But they have like a little wine bar in the place, and it's a small establishment, but they have ghost stories. I've been in there a few times, and the owner, super friendly, and just totally told me all of the stuff, and I'm like, oh, this would be so fun to do something here, and then we moved, and then COVID hit, and then everything
went. Okay, we could do it there, but I will stay at the Best Western.
Yeah, no,
you don't want the complimentary room this time, Carol?
No complimentary room.
See,
and the other thing is, I don't want to stay in a haunted place, and I also don't like to stay in bed and breakfast because I don't want to wake up in the morning and have to be charming with other people I don't know.
It's more fun to share
breakfast with people I don't know.
It's more fun
to do that.
It's more fun to be charming and share a bathroom with people you don't know.
Oh my God,
that's even more charming, isn't it?
I hate that. I hate public bathrooms. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's not. But a bed and breakfast sometimes.
It's
sometimes you have
worse.
One in your room. Sometimes it's like in the hallway. It's a communal thing. But
the bathroom in your room. So what? People are gonna go knocking at your door, like, hey, can
no, I it's use at the end bathroom? Of the hall. No, it's like,
yeah,
it's
you
like
have
a house.
To go knock on the door and go, is anybody in there?
No, some bed and breakfast are, it's like a house. Like, you literally have a bedroom, and the bedroom is the room. There's not like a bathroom attached
they
to it.
They should all have en suites. Like, period.
They should. Yeah, but some of them are super old houses and stuff, and you really can't physically do it.
I'll stay at the Lizzie Borden house if you'll come with me.
That'd be a fun road trip, wouldn't it?
Would you guys do that?
Where is it? Where is it, Lizzie?
I don't know.
It's probably in Massachusetts or someplace like
that.
Oh,
yeah, definitely Massachusetts. Now,
we've been talking about doing a road trip, all of us, at some point. And I think, yeah, we would have a blast. It would be so much fun.
I'm looking it up.
It's
Borden
a bed
House.
And breakfast.
Yeah.
Y'all can, like...
It is in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
I would so go there, you guys. I'm not going to stay the night there, and I don't think you can.
It's a bed and breakfast.
I think you can.
It's a bed and breakfast.
Okay, I'm just going to go take a tour of it.
And then back at the Best Western.
McDonald's for breakfast the next day.
You know what was funny about that night that we were at the Crescent and we did our live show together?
There wasn't a lot of funny stuff at the end of the
There was. Yeah, we had a listener that almost seemed like she got possessed. And she's a wonderful human being, but it was creepy. So all these years later, so we had a listener who, I don't know if she wants me to say her name, so I'm not going to say it, but it was weird. I remember everyone was sitting down and we were taking pictures and stuff, and then she had a weird look on her face all of a sudden. She sat down and then her head tilted back and it was
and
like...
Her eyes rolled into the back of her head.
It was like reminiscent of The Exorcist.
May the power of Christ compel you.
Yeah.
The power of Christ.
And Harper brought out a crucifix and exercise. No, Harper was not there. But had she been, who knows? But it was weird. And then I talked to her and she's like, well, I only had an energy bar today and maybe it's blood sugar. And I'm like, okay, you know, but I've seen people have blood sugar episodes and I've never seen it like that.
Yeah, but we called EMS they said, well, you know, you need to eat something.
And they didn't even recognize
it. She had a seizure.
Yeah.
And this is a person. Like, she did. She had a seizure.
She did. But this is a person who doesn't have seizures.
Yeah, it was very weird.
It was very bizarre. But, well, okay, what happened with you and your room? Because when we did the show, they gave me a free room and I gave it to you. And I thought, cool, you'll like this.
And I thought I would.
Yeah.
But, and I don't totally want to share this story though, because we never have shared this story.
Why don't you want to share it?
Because I never wanted to freak her out.
Who? Harper?
No, the girl who this happened to, who we're not naming.
Oh, well, I think we're safe.
Okay. So I am very, very sensitive, as people know. And, so we got there and like, I'm talking to the room. I'm like, hey, awesome room, awesome place. Just leave me alone. And then I meet you and Jen for dinner. My sister stayed in the room.
Yeah.
The sister who is super sensitive.
Yep.
And I get back to the room. She gives me this weird look. Oh, I know. Let me back up. Before I left the room to meet you guys for dinner, I said, if weird shit happens to you, I don't want to know.
And that's Kathy, who's been on the show before.
Yeah. So just keep that to yourself. Don't want to know about it. I'm just trying to get through staying in a haunted hotel, and the least I know, the better I am. You can tell me when we leave. So we get back and she gives me this really weird look and I'm like, don't tell me this. She goes, well, and I'm like, okay, what? She goes, well, when you were gone, and it has they have these really big balconies and you don't have to like jump over anything. They're like a wall, but it's more like a half wall between you and the room next to you. But the balconies are ginormous on the front of the Crescent Hotel. So easily somebody could come over to your room. So Kathy hears somebody come to the door on the balcony and rattle in the door, like trying to get in. And she can hear the door trying to open. And so she's in the bathroom getting ready, just putting makeup on. So it wasn't like she couldn't walk right out, which she did, because the bathroom door was right by that balcony bathroom door. So she thought it was somebody thinking they were in their room. So she stepped out to tell them that they've got the wrong room and there was nobody there. And so like she, you know, turned around and would have been there in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know? And you would have seen him walk around because the balcony was so huge. So I'm like, don't tell me that shit, Kathy. And so, but she did. So then when that whole incident happened after the live show, and there was a nurse who was there, and she's from around where I live, and she was there too, and her and I talked about it all the next day, but because I was behind her, and her head went back, and her eyes rolled in the back of her head, and my sister was in front of her, and her head went up, like, forward, I should say, the EMS got there and checked her out and everything. And mm-hmm. my sister got attacked and really weird. So she goes back to the room. And so we made sure that she got, the other woman got back to her room and everything. Then I got this, I was not feeling comfortable with it. So we go back to our room and I'm like already thinking I'm going to be up half the night. And my sister is like, something wasn't right. And I'm like, I know, I saw it too. And she goes, no, you didn't. She goes, because when she sat up and looked at me, it wasn't her. And I'm like, what? She goes, her eyes, there was something else. And I'm like, okay, let's leave.
I see it. I'm looking at the, there's a tornado on this shot. I'm looking at the live shots from the TV station, and there is clearly something on there.
Well, you should go.
It's very narrow. I don't know where the fuck it is. Yeah, we probably should. Okay, so we're back. What was a split second where we cut away was about 15 minutes of me and Harper in a tornado shelter.
Yay!
But we're back up. And
me watching the Property Brothers.
Exactly. So same sort of thing, you know, tornadoes. Carol, you were just saying as we had to evacuate that you decided to leave the hotel because Kathy had said that she had seen something in someone's eyes that was scary. Yeah.
And so I'm like, then we have to go. And Kathy's like, no, that's ridiculous. We can stay here. And I'm like, no, we can't, you know, and because she's now had two weird experiences and, you know, and who knows, maybe it was something that took over the person, or maybe it was something that my sister just saw. Because, like we've discussed many times, she's super sensitive.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, no, we can't leave. That's the first time ever I have left a hotel at midnight and gone and paid for another room to stay someplace else.
Yeah.
So we did. We left and checked out, and they had some big ass keychain there. And like, so it's like, we'll be leaving. And nobody even questioned. Nobody was like, oh, is everything okay? Nobody anything. So obviously, I think that happens frequently there.
Mm-hmm.
And because I thought, you know, they're going to say, why are you leaving at midnight?
Yeah.
And so, but we did. We left. I'm like, I am not staying there. It's not worth it. I will spend $100 to go stay someplace else.
And it was funny because there's a lot of hotels there, and you randomly picked the same hotel I was at.
Yeah, I did, because it was a Best Western.
Yeah.
That's why I always joke. I'm like, just put me in a Best Western. There's something about Best Westerns that don't, like, just the name doesn't seem like a Best Western can be haunted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are haunted Best Westerns.
Of course there are. Yeah.
But in my head, it's like, okay, it's not haunted.
Yeah.
So we stayed at the Best Western that night.
I think it's the waffles in the morning.
Yeah. And then we all had waffles in the morning. We did. We had the breakfast buffet.
But I do love waffles.
Yes.
Yeah. I do. And but so, so next time, if there is a bed and breakfast that's haunted, I will be staying at the Best Western. I'm just not.
There we go.
Thank you for the complimentary room. I won't be using it.
But
I guess we'll take the complimentary haunted room, Harp. And
No, I'm staying with Carol.
Absolutely, because I got three waffles in the morning. And you're going to have to get up and have breakfast.
I'm going to have haunted waffles in the morning. It's going to be delicious, and you're all going to miss out.
It's going to be the worst waffles, because it's going to suck your soul out.
Waffles that suck your soul out.
Because they're that bad.
Lego my Eggo.
Waffles sound all harmless until they suck your soul.
Yeah, that's like it was the original slogan for Eggo once. It was not Lego my Eggo. It was they'll suck your soul out. And they realized that's a little harsh. We should just go with Lego my Eggo.
It's Lego your soul.
Yeah, it was overwhelmingly reviewed as not positive and not selling Eggo waffles. So they decided to change that up.
Yeah, they also decided to change the design.
The focus group was like, yeah, we're not feeling demons.
Yeah.
And the whole demon thing's making us not want to eat it. So if we don't know our souls being sucked out, it's better.
And do you remember the collector's box of Eggo waffles where they would have the upside down crucifixes and the pentagram Eggos? Those were
horrible.
It was really weird. It's like, why do I just want to eat this crucifix upside down with... It only tastes good upside down with the butter and the syrup. If you eat it right side up, it was like, it didn't taste good. It was like warm and toasty upside... It was so weird.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it was...
That's horrible.
Give me regular Eggo.
Just the circle? You want the pentagram?
It's the one
Eggo
with the Ouija board on the back of the box.
Yes, yes. New kids, every box comes. That was an alphabet cereal. The alphabet cereal did the Ouija board.
Hey, kids, really? Think about the A and see. Ask it a question. How do I say the alphabet? And let it show you.
Gotta love the alphabets. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. Until next time, for Carol and Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Who's getting the paycheck?
Who's getting the paycheck?